Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, the radio show providing up-to-date information on various health topics. Insights for Health is brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham since 1992. The Healthy Habit, where we provide natural solutions all life long. Our topic today is pregnancy and natural health, and our guest today is Dr. Philip Rashotis. And Dr. Philip graduated from the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine in 2004, preceded by an undergraduate degree and a master's degree in nutritional science, both from the University of Guelph. Dr. Philip is also an associate professor teaching clinical nutrition at the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine and is a contributing author to various online and print publications. Good morning, Dr. Philip, and thank you for joining us on Insights for Health.
Good morning, Dave. It's always a treat to be with you, and this is a topic I'm very excited about.
Yeah, doctor, so if a woman is pregnant or considering pregnancy, what kind of lifestyle suggestions, doctor, would you recommend?
There's really one dietary pattern that's separated itself by leaps and bounds for many of the diets out there. It's simply because it's been very thoroughly studied in many different settings, most notably for heart disease, but also for fertility, for pregnancy, even for dementia and Alzheimer's, and that's the Mediterranean dietary pattern. It really is a simple approach to follow. The core of it is fruit, vegetables, olive oil, nuts, whole grains if you're going to have the grains. And then the saying for the meats is have plenty that have no legs, meaning seafood, have some that have two legs, meaning poultry, and limit what has four legs, being red meat. And the actual base of the pyramid is to enjoy meals with others and be active. So in adopting that pattern, there is just an endless list of positive health outcomes that are associated with that dietary strategy.
Yeah, like we hear of the Mediterranean diet, like you said, in heart disease and so many other things as well.
It really has been looked at. It's expanded a lot over the years, and there are specific studies in it for fertility and pregnancy, specific studies for dementia and Alzheimer's, of course the heart disease area, looking at it for helping diabetes control. It's really quite endless, and again, it's really separated itself from other diets out there as far as the most appropriate diet pattern for people to be following.
Any other lifestyle suggestions, doctor?
Physical activity is definitely a big deal. We know that it improves oxygen delivery to the fetus if mom is engaging in some moderate activity. We certainly don't want a pregnant woman to be doing sprinting or extremely strenuous physical activity.
And no contact sports.
Something as basic as walking has ultimately profound impact positively on the course of a pregnancy for both mom and baby.
And of course, there's things to avoid, right?
There's the obvious, obviously we don't want a woman smoking through pregnancy. Alcohol can have some pretty detrimental effects on a child. And the less subtle, caffeine is something that you should consider avoiding during pregnancy. Pregnant women often don't like hearing that, but a fetal liver is really incapable of processing caffeine. So even a marginal amount of caffeine passing the placenta, which it does, will have very, very powerful impact on a developing fetus. So we generally try to get pregnant women not to consume caffeine. We obviously want to limit junk food, etc. Certainly.
Yeah, for sure. Now, in our last show, we talked specifically about fish oil through the whole show, and we sort of ended the show on the topic of pregnancy. And so can we pick up there? Because I know you're going to list off multiple supplements here today that are beneficial to pregnancy.
I really love this area of science. I mean, we're certainly going to spend some time talking about things that help mom through a pregnancy.
Yeah.
But a really fascinating area of study is that there are five supplements, and we can argue that it's even six or seven, but certainly the big five, that if a mom takes through pregnancy, they reduce risk of disease in the baby. And that is just a profound concept. Mom takes this simple, safe, over-the-counter natural health product, and baby will enjoy very profoundly reduced risk of some very common and serious complications that can occur. So fish oil, before we talk about disease reduction, fish oil is really important for neurodevelopment, for development of vision, and for development of hearing. And this has been reproducibly shown in multiple human studies that if mom are consuming an adequate amount of fish or supplementing fish oil through pregnancy, there is advantages in those neurodevelopmental areas. So that's wonderful, but by no means is improving neurodevelopment a disease. So the disease that fish oil supplementation reduces is that it reduces, if mom is supplementing fish oil through pregnancy, it reduces the risk of the baby ever getting allergy. The fancy word for it is atopy. So reduces the risk of the baby getting things like eczema or asthma. And why this is so important is there's something called the atopic march. It's a lifetime of allergy. If you have eczema as a baby, you're super high risk to have asthma when you're 5 or 6. That same child is now super high risk to have seasonal allergy when they're 11 or 12. Same child, super high risk to have post-nasal drip and other signs of allergy as they enter their teens. So it's a whole lifetime of allergy, and it can be prevented by mom taking fish oil through pregnancy. If I may, Dave, one of the other 5 supplements that are key to take through pregnancy is a probiotic.
Oh, yeah.
And probiotics reduce the same disease that fish oil does. So likewise, probiotics will reduce the risk of a baby ever getting eczema or asthma. So these two really, really basic things. And when we talk about mom in pregnancy, there are 4 or 5 things that the probiotic will do for mom through pregnancy. But in addition to that, the probiotic for the baby is going to reduce the risk of that baby ever getting allergy.
Wow, perfect. Now, in the last show, too, we talked about EPA, DHA. And can you just touch on that again and how that works both with mom and the fetus?
Sure. So there are 2 active ingredients in fish oil, EPA, DHA. And this is an important area to talk about it in, because usually if mom goes into a health food store looking for a fish oil for pregnancy, she will be handed a fish oil that is DHA, DHA-based, often even pure DHA. And I am sternly of the opinion that that is an error. Now, there is no debate that the fetus needs DHA. It is the DHA that helps fetal development.
Yeah.
However, the world of mental health has taught us that if an oil has more DHA than EPA, it can worsen mood and it can worsen aggression. So I don't like the idea of giving that to a pregnant woman, and I hope most people don't like the idea of that either. So we like to give an oil in pregnancy that would be like a 2-to-1 ratio of EPA to DHA.
Yeah.
So it has twice as much EPA than DHA. It really is a perfect all-purpose oil. That's what we give to people if they're worried about their heart or if they want to lower cholesterol, if they have joint pain. And in pregnancy, what people don't realize is that the placenta and the breast select for DHA. So I'm giving this pregnant woman a 2-to-1 ratio of EPA to DHA. The placenta is only allowing the DHA to pass through to the fetus, and the breast is selectively picking up DHA to put into breast milk. So that developing fetus and newborn baby will be getting the DHA, and the EPA is there to help mom's mood, and we think that is very important.
Yeah, especially after delivery and postpartum, right?
Absolutely. So studies of DHA for postpartum depression across the board have failed. Several studies of EPA for postpartum depression, every single one of them shows that it's in fact very effective at improving mood following delivery.
Now, with the probiotics, doctor, there's different strains. Is there one strain in particular that's better than another? Is it multiple strains? Do you want some variety?
We always insist on a multi-strain strategy for probiotics. Something to look for in the world of probiotics is for the probiotic to be enteric-coated.
Yeah.
So probiotics are live bacteria. they do not get along well with stomach acid, and you're going to have a lot of die-off of the probiotics. We are trying to get them delivered to your intestine. So an enteric coating will make sure that that capsule won't open until the probiotics hit the small intestine. Therefore, you get infinitely greater delivery of live probiotics. And strain-wise, we want multi-strain. Let the gut sort it out. But the one strain that really seems to feature prominently in the world of women's health is the rhamnosis strain. So most good probiotics will have rhamnosis in it. Certainly any probiotic claiming to be focused on women's health will have multiple different rhamnosis strains in it, but not exclusively rhamnosis. There should be, it should be multi-strain. There should be many, many strains present. And if I may, let's talk about what probiotics do. So we already talked about the benefit to the baby.
Yeah.
This is a really long list of benefits. We're gonna end up at like five or six. So number one, it reduces risk of the baby getting allergy. Number two, in pregnancy, women with bacterial vaginosis half get probiotic, half get antibiotic. The probiotic is as effective and, in fact, slightly superior to the antibiotic to treat bacterial vaginosis. So number one, baby won't get allergy. Number two, you won't get bacterial vaginosis. And if you do, you're taking the most effective treatment. Number three, there is very real, considerable detriment to having to expose a fetus to antibiotics through pregnancy. So now the probiotic is radically increasing the likelihood that you won't have to expose the fetus to antibiotics through pregnancy. That's number three.
Yeah.
Number four, they take women at and I don't know how the probiotic did this one. When I found these studies, I was personally floored. I can't wrap my head around mechanistically how this happens, but they took women at very high risk for gestational diabetes. So it's a diabetes that develops during pregnancy. Usually, often it will resolve following pregnancy, but it is not desirable to develop gestational diabetes. They took women at very high risk for gestational diabetes. Half of them got placebo, half of them got probiotic. The placebo group, 36% of the women developed gestational diabetes. The probiotic group, 12% of women did. So it's very powerfully reducing the likelihood of reducing gestational diabetes. And the last thing probiotics have been shown to do in pregnancy so far is preeclampsia. Preeclampsia is a state of hypertension specifically that occurs in pregnancy, and it can lead to a situation that is quite dangerous for mom and baby. Taking a probiotic has been shown to reduce the risk of mom developing preeclampsia. So you're talking about five different benefits, any one of which would justify taking the probiotic for pregnancy. And you're talking about five of them that occur by mom taking a probiotic through pregnancy.
Yeah, the preeclampsia and the gestational diabetes, those pop up during pregnancy, right? And typically, when the mother's not pregnant, she doesn't have an issue with diabetes or high blood pressure.
Right, right. So these are specifically situations that arise, that potentially arise in pregnancy. By no means do they arise in all pregnancies.
Yeah.
But the diabetes that you weren't diabetic leading up to your pregnancy, but suddenly you're diabetic in your pregnancy. Or you weren't hypertensive before your pregnancy, but now you have hypertension during pregnancy. And they are not good situations. Preeclampsia can actually become very alarming. And you're talking about something as simple as a probiotic reducing the risk of these occurring. And the added benefit of your child is much less likely to ever have allergy in their life. And the benefit of you are basically not going to develop bacterial vaginosis through your pregnancy. Or if you have bacterial vaginosis, start taking the probiotic. It's more effective than an antibiotic at treating it. It's just this endless list of benefit of a probiotic during pregnancy.
Yeah, do it naturally for sure. So, doctor, we're going to take a quick commercial break here. And when we come back from the break, you've got a few other supplements you want to talk about. Well, you got folic acid, vitamin D, and multi?
Yes.
All right. We'll pick that up after the break.